It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
Remember midsummer when Hillary Clinton had command of this presidential race and pundits were already speculating about how bad of a landslide it would be for Donald Trump? That was then. This is now. Look at this new Fox poll. Trump has now vaulted into the lead in this latest Fox poll, confirming what we've seen in other national polls as well as battleground states as well, where he's leading among likely voters here. Trump 46%, Clinton 45%, obviously within the margin of error, but a lead nonetheless. Then look at this four-way race, very tight as well. Clinton leads there by 1 point, 41% to 40 over Trump. Libertarian Gary Johnson gets 8%. Jill Stein from the Green Party gets 3%. Those third-party candidates can have a big impact in a four-way race. Trump has seized the momentum, of course, after a shakeup in his campaign team that has resulted in less self-inflicted wounds, more teleprompter moments with a focus on serious policy proposals, such as that speech you mentioned yesterday in Manhattan, where it was all about the economy.
It's time to establish a national goal of reaching 4% economic growth. But I think we can do better than that. Under our plan, the economy will average 3.5% growth and create a total of 25 million new jobs.
Now, Hillary Clinton's camp shot back that he was very scant on details, but you heard that pledge there of 25 million new jobs, annual economic growth above 3.5%. You heard him say maybe as high as 4%. Business also should pay no more than 15% of its income in taxes. That would be a big tax cut for corporate America. Low-income Americans, he said, would not pay any taxes, trying to help the poor and the middle class. Again, the Clinton camp has said that plan would not help the poor in the middle class.
That was Ed Henry very early this morning on Fox and Friends First. This is Sandy Rios in the morning with you. It's amazing, isn't it, what a week can do? The polls are just shifting unbelievably. This morning I have a 10-page article from the Free Press in Michigan saying that even in Michigan, which has not voted for a Republican president since 19, they've been voting for Democratic presidents since 1992, that even that state has now moved in play. To be specific about it, the Free Press has a poll that's showing Donald Trump is behind, I think, by 3 points. Yeah, 38 to 35, and that's within the margin of error. But that's really actually quite remarkable in a blue state. And so things are shifting very quickly. Let's see. We talked about, I'm not sure I talked about this specifically. I don't want to go into state by state, but you know, you've probably been hearing, and if you haven't, I should say, that Donald Trump has moved ahead in Ohio, which was a state that I think Mrs. Clinton thought she had wrapped up. Florida, they're within just a few points of each other in Florida. And so it really is quite amazing. And all of this has taken place really in the course of a week. And as I was preparing the show this morning, it occurred to me that, you know, I say to you, and I live this, and I know you do too, we have so many things happening at warp speed. And sometimes you don't stop to think about it until you just look back on the week. It was only a week ago, only 1 week ago, 7 days ago today, when Mrs. Clinton was in New York City at the Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, Transgender fundraiser sponsored by Barbara Streisand and said this. Cut 10.
We are living in a volatile political environment. You know, to just be grossly generalistic, you could put half of Trump supporters into what I call the basket of deplorables. Right? the racist, sexist, homophobic, xenophobic, Islamophobic, you name it. And unfortunately, there are people like that. And he has lifted them up.
All right. And then a few days after that, Mrs. Clinton, just last Sunday, not even a week ago, at the 9/11 commemoration in New York City, is the day that she had the episode that we've all seen on video, where she had this, she passed out, whatever you want to call it, whatever the reason. The doctor says it was pneumonia. Mrs. Clinton is back out on the trail. She looks very good, physically, for sure. So, but that's all in a week, all in a week. This is amazing. Probably the most important thing I have to tell you this morning is really not new news. And I have to tell you that it was a shock to me that it wasn't new news, because while we were at the Values Voter Summit last week, Christians gathered from all over the country to sort of, you know, talk to pundits and intersect, and I did the radio show, and we're, you know, talking about values, the values that we all share. Biblical values is what they are. They're not just family values. That's the nice moniker that politically correct folk in this city, when I was president of CWA, decided to call them so it would be less offensive. But it is biblical values, I hasten to clarify. While we were talking about all that, the Obama administration was actually quite busy. And just even the day that we were convening over there, they were doing something that I think is extremely dangerous and frightening. And when I say to you that there is so much at stake in this election, I am not understating this. Let me read to you. This is, now I know that actually the Washington Examiner reported on this Thursday, September the 8th. I didn't know it. I was busy. I think we were all busy with the Values Voter Summit. I didn't hear anyone talking about this. But their headline was, "Religious Freedom, Liberty, Just Code Words for Intolerance," says the U.S. Civil Rights Chairman. And reading from LifeSet, which is Laura Ingraham's outlet, "Obama administration condemns religious liberty." The Obama administration's Commission on Civil Rights has released a terrifying report that lays the groundwork for legal persecution of Christians in America. The report, entitled "Peaceful Coexistence, Reconciling Non-Discrimination Principles with Civil Liberties," asserts that religious liberty and the free exercise of religion are in truth merely an excuse for bigots and racists to get away from away with discrimination. Now I'm quoting, "The phrases religious liberty and religious freedom remain code words for discrimination, intolerance, racism, sexism, homophobia, Islamophobia, Christian supremacy, or any form of intolerance," end quote. That's Martin Castro, chairman of the commission. He said in a statement, which was included in the report, and then he went on to say, "Today, as in the past, religion is being used as both a weapon and a shield by those seeking to deny others equality. This generation of Americans must stand up and speak out to ensure that religion never again be twisted to deny others the full promise of America." Peter Kersenal, who is a member of that commission, and by, again, that is the Civil Rights Commission, the United States Commission on Civil Rights. It is Barack Obama. He appoints the members of this committee, of this commission. Peter Kersenal is the dissenting member. He says the secular side believes that the non-discrimination principles should take precedence over religious liberty principles. He said if there's tension between the two, if the various government entities follow the commission, they will subordinate religious liberty. And of course, Kersenal went on to say it's already happening. But you know that. We talk about this every day, do we not? Can we say cake bakers in Oregon? Can we say florists in Washington State? Can we talk about photographers? Can we talk about, North Carolina, the state, wanting to just have bathrooms assigned by gender according to your birth certificate? The discrimination against Christians and against people who hold a biblical, deeply held, strong conviction on these issues is about to be unleashed. If it weren't already, it certainly is now. Kersenal also, let me read the last thing. This is, again, the dissenting commissioner. "The slippery slope has turned into a cliff. You take the logical outcome of these things. We've seen the future already, and it's coming very rapidly. There's a fairly significant effort to suppress or subordinate religious practices and religious beliefs in service of a broader agenda." And this is the moment I wish I had the clip of Mrs. Hillary Clinton saying religious conviction will have to be changed. Deeply held religious beliefs will have to be changed. That's what she said. She said that deeply held religious beliefs are just going to have to be changed. That's not too much of a shock, is it, when you think that she just said, in fact, let's hear it again, Jeff, cut 10. This is what she said a week ago today.
We are living in a volatile political environment. You know, to just be grossly generalistic, you could put half of Trump's supporters into what I call the basket of deplorables. Right? The racist, sexist, homophobic, xenophobic, Islamophobic, you name it.
All right. Does that sound familiar? I just read to you, Martin Castro, who's the chairman of this commission. This is his quote. The phrases religious liberty and religious freedom are made code words for discrimination, intolerance, racism, sexism, homophobia, Islamophobia. Same phrase. Trust me, they're on the same page. And there is so much at stake in this election. I'm just not sure I can quite adequately paint a picture, except if we were to talk to our Russian friends, our Eastern European bloc friends, and talk about what it was like when you had to be re-educated. We're already seeing that too, aren't we? Sent to gulags if you don't conform, not able to find work. Your children not able to, you know, coexist unless they betray you, the parents. It is a frightening world in which we are entering. But the thing of it is, we still can do something about it. And that's why I'm here, really. It isn't about the personalities. It really, truly is about the future of the country and maintaining freedom. There is something else that happened I got it just this morning. This is brand new news. I got it from Brian Fisher, actually. He sent it to me this just a few minutes ago. And that is that Donald Trump has chosen Marjorie Dannenfeldzer of the Susan B. Anthony list. Marjorie is a pro-life champion. That's what Susan B. Anthony list is all about. And by the way, could I say, when the Susan B. Anthony list was established, it is a PAC that supports pro-life women for office. I was their spokesperson for many years, and Marjorie is now their president. Marjorie has been chosen to head Donald Trump's, it's the co-chair. She's going to be the chairman of Donald Trump's pro-life coalition. That's amazing. That's really, truly amazing. You know, it makes me wonder, you know, I don't think his daughter is as strongly pro-life as he is, and you know how he loves his daughter, so, you know, how does this happen? It's amazing, because the choice of Marjorie is a huge statement. It's a huge statement. It's not a wiggle room thing. It's not like she's sometimes this and sometimes that. Marjorie is all out 100% pro-life. And this is just kind of an amazing news development. And that reminded me, Lauren Green did a report last night kind of related to this on Fox and the Catholic vote for this election. Let's listen.
The full-page newspaper ads targeting Catholics began running this week around the country, including in Miami, Dallas, Chicago, and Minneapolis. They tout the good of federally funded abortions, claiming they're a, quote, Catholic social justice value. But the organization behind the campaign,
Jeff,
Catholics for Choice, is being denounced by the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops,
so
which is
in.
Blasting the pro-choice Catholic group, saying the ads are deceptive. Warning the public, Timothy Cardinal Dolan, the Archbishop of New York and chair of the U.S. Bishop's Committee on Pro-Life Activities said the use of the name Catholic as a platform to promote the taking of innocent human life is offensive, not only to Catholics, but to all who expect honesty and forthrightness in public discourse. CFC is not affiliated with the Catholic Church in any way. In response, the CFC said, "We believe as Catholics that public funding for abortion is a matter of social justice. We also believe that increasing health care choices for all American citizens is critical, as opposed to denying freedom of conscience to women, especially to poor women." The ads support a Democratic platform to repeal the Hyde Amendment, the 40-year-old legislative provision forbidding federally funded abortions. Hillary Clinton wants to abolish it. Her vice presidential running mate, Tim Kaine, who is Catholic, has been criticized for wavering on the issue, even though when he ran for governor of Virginia in 2005, was unabashedly pro-life.
I'm a Catholic. I was a missionary. I think life is sacred. I'm against the death penalty and abortion. I'm not apologizing for my religious view, and I'm not changing it for politics.
But in his more recent interviews and speeches, he expresses a more politically expedient view.
I do not believe that the job of somebody in public life is to basically say, I'm a Catholic, so my job is to make our laws consistent with Catholic doctrine and make everybody follow it.
Catholics are a crucial swing vote, a bellwether for predicting the outcome of a presidential contest. The newspaper ads are an example of how battling for the soul of the Catholic has become a strong undercurrent of this election.
All right, Lauren Green, and so, you know, but remember that deeply held religious beliefs are going to have to be changed. All of you Roman Catholics and evangelicals and Jews and people of faith who, you know, have strongly held biblical, you're just going to have to get over it to accommodate the new religion, which is government and homosexuality and LGBT rights and all of the rest of it. It's just an amazing time, and it's a turning point. We'll take a break. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Freedom is an amazing gift from God, and He's given us an incredible number of heroes charged with the job of protecting it. I'm Eric Horner, and I'd like to invite you to be a part of doing something really special for those who've answered freedom's call. On Saturday, September 17th, Operation Tankful of Love, in partnership with American Family Radio, will again be working to bless the men and women serving at Fort Campbell, Kentucky, with a gift of some free gas.
Living the life of a soldier is rough with being away from family and having to deal with just the environment that's there sometimes, and this kind of stuff raises morale.
The sacrifice that you guys make makes the sacrifice that we make so much worth it.
If you'd like to be a part of Operation Tankful of Love 2016, you can give us a call at 877-968-3742 to make your tax-deductible donation. You can also donate online by going to tankfulofloveoff.com. Won't you join us in being the hands and feet of Jesus to those who serve?
This is a Decency Minute. I'm Bill Johnson. Just days before the 15th anniversary of 9/11, the top presidential candidates faced off in a commander-in-chief forum. Who will be our next commander-in-chief? One thing is sure, the ramifications are great. Since 9/11, we have gone from a nation resolved to eradicating Islamic terrorism to a presidential administration that enables a terrorist regime to develop nuclear weapons. We have gone from the most elite fighting force in the world to a military whose leadership seems more focused on forcing homosexuality and transgenderism upon our troops. Our military budget has been drastically cut, yet our president gives over $1 billion in cash to Iran. As we remember the horrific attacks of 9/11, may we pray that God will give us a commander-in-chief with wisdom and resolve to keep our nation safe. This is a Decency Minute. I'm Bill Johnson.
Teachers, are you praising kids for the right thing?
Welcome to Tips with public school educator Dr. Bill Ziegler.
I think so many teachers are praising kids for the wrong things. They're praising them for being a great athlete, a great musician, or that they're really smart in math. But really, teachers should be focusing on the process, how students overcome adversity, how they work through a problem, how they are willing to fail and then learn and grow. We should be praising students for grit, perseverance, resilience, and overcoming obstacles. Because when we praise them just for being good in math, when they face a math problem that they can't overcome, they get frustrated and often give up. Let's begin praising kids for the right things. Teachers, start using a growth mindset in your classrooms today.
Visit the TIPS website for great educational resources at 4tips.org. That's the number 4, T-I-P-P-S.O-R-G.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with this Fox News and Commentary next.
Truett McConnell University is training students to love the Lord, love the Word, love the Church, and love the lost. Scripture is the foundation for everything they do. It's who they are, preparing students not just for a career, but to fulfill God's high calling on their lives. Truett McConnell University offers a wide array of bachelor's programs, some online, and they also have an outstanding Master of Arts in Theology. So if you'd like to schedule a visit to Truett's campus in the North Georgia Mountains, visit truett.edu. A grade school in Barnegat, New Jersey is under fire after they gave second graders a lesson on Islamic cleaning rituals. It happened at the Collins Elementary School. The Asbury Park Press received a copy of the assignment from a very angry parent. The worksheet included lessons on health and hygiene from an Islamic perspective. There was even a verse from the Quran about how Allah loves cleanliness. The local school district tells me the lesson was a mistake and blamed the incident on a novice instructor who downloaded the assignment from Pinterest. They say it won't happen again. Well, let's hope not. Meantime, I hope the school district doesn't mind if I offer some unsolicited advice regarding Islamic laundry. Just tell the kids to use Tide Plus with a little touch of Downy. You'll get the brilliant clean you love along with a hijab that's Downy soft and fresh. I'm Todd Stearns.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
6 months after becoming law, North Carolina's House Bill 2 continues to spark controversy. The Atlantic Coast Conference announcing it will move some championship games out of state, saying, "The ACC Council of Presidents reaffirmed our collective commitment to uphold the values of equality, diversity, inclusion, and non-discrimination. We believe North Carolina House Bill 2 is inconsistent with these values." According to some estimates, the ACC, along with similar boycotts by the NCAA and NBA, will cost the state more than $150 million. And that number does not include the economic impact of businesses, conventions, and entertainers that have also pulled out over HB2's requirement that people in government buildings use bathrooms and locker rooms that correspond to the genders on their birth certificates.
The NCAA would bode well to care more about the safety of college athletes across this country far more than they care about their ticket sales.
But in a tight election, the issue is likely to drive people on both sides to the polls in this swing state. One Republican state senator who initially supported the law is now calling for its repeal.
I did not realize the consequences of this bill, that it would have worldwide consequences. And they just keep piling up.
But social conservatives are pushing back. The North Carolina Values Coalition asks, how much is it worth to prevent the sexual assault of one little girl in a public bathroom or locker room? That is the question that State Senator Tamara Berenger ought to ask herself.
North Carolina Democrats are calling for a special session to repeal House Bill 2, but many Republicans are doubling down. North Carolina Congressman Richard Hudson accused the NCAA and ACC of political theater and suggested these organizations may be jeopardizing their tax-exempt status.
All right, that was Jonathan Siri on Fox yesterday. This is Sandy Rios in the Morning back with you. I forgot to give you the phone number because this is Friday, and I want to talk to you. Our phone number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. I also just, as I have said to you many times, beating here now a dead horse, sports is not my bailiwick. And so I'm going to ask you a question. Can't we do something to stop the NCAA? Isn't there pushback? Can't parents, like, can't we take a bold stand? Really? Are we really helpless? Really and truly, we have to sit by while other entities who could care less about the safety of women and girls and little boys too, I might add, would allow the bathrooms to be and changing rooms to be opened up to all genders? Really? We won't even fight over that? Are you kidding me? This state senator, Tamara Berenger, I just didn't realize that we'd actually have to, you know, it would cost something to pass this bill, because now that there's money involved, why, we have to stop this. We must let girls shower in boys' locker rooms and boys come into girls' bathrooms. We just must, because it's the high road, right? And besides that, it'll keep us from losing money. Isn't there something You tell me. Really? You're helping you parents who have kids in school, who you're paying these enormous tuitions to these colleges, and your kids are playing sports, and they're talented, but it's not worth, you know, you don't want to ruffle the feathers because it's more important that they get a spot on the team. I don't know. What's going on here? And, you know, I want to take this further. I'm not prepared to speak about this in great detail. I confess to you on that, too. But I sure am thinking about this. For those of you who are Christians and serious Christians in the body of Christ, you'll understand this little thing I'm going to mention. I've been having a conversation about the whole notion of the providence of God, what doctrinally would be called Calvinism, that everything that happens is designed and laid out by God, that he's in total control, he's sovereign, versus the point of view that says that but man has a choice, that Jesus, God said he loved the world and didn't want any to perish. Presbyterians traditionally, not PCA, but traditionally, they believe, they're the denomination that really expresses this, but there are others too, that there really is very little control. There's not much you can do. It's all about the providence of God. You were chosen. You were the elect. And then there, all the way to, I think, the Church of the Nazarene, I believe, and also perhaps the Methodist Church, who believes that you can actually, you have something to do with it. You can lose. And I'm leading up to something here. I actually don't want to get into a discussion. I'm not looking to get into a discussion on eternal security or God's sovereignty. But my point is this. I am beginning to see kind of an answer to something that has just plagued me. Why Christians aren't more angry? Why aren't they fighting? Why don't they care? Even about bathrooms and their children and locker rooms and gay marriage and all of the things that are coming in a tsunami. Why don't they care? Why aren't they willing to fight? Why aren't pastors? Why aren't they doing something? Why don't they take a stand? And I really do think that it is because the strain of this Calvinism and God's sovereignty has taken the pulpits in a way that has neutralized action. Because if God is sovereign and he's just laying it all out and we don't have a choice and it's just the way it is and we'll just take it as it comes because we trust God, this is what I hear from what the hyper-Calvinist for sure, then, you know, there's nothing you can do and you just bow to God's sovereignty. Now, even before I can't leave it at that. I'm going to have to go to the bottom line for me so you understand where I'm coming from. I absolutely believe in God's sovereignty. I absolutely do believe that he chose people from the foundation of the world. He chose a people for him that he would redeem. But I also believe that man has a choice. I don't see how you can deny that in Scripture. And I think we have a personal responsibility. Otherwise, so much of our scriptures really don't mean anything, the admonitions. The story about Nehemiah building the temple when they were rebuilding the wall, and they were building the wall, you know, with one hand and had a sword in the other hand because they fought. They knew they had to fight. Where is the fight? And I'm beginning to think it is because of this. I'm not against teaching the sovereignty of God, but I think somehow maybe we've gone over the line here so that people have become mute and their response, that they've lost their fight. I've had my Jewish friends say, why won't Christians fight? Look what's happening. Don't you understand? And I agree with them. And this to me, it's just beginning to sort of, I'm beginning to kind of understand why this, well, God's in control. And I hear it from many of you emailing me, Facebooking me, that you're hearing this also. Well, he is in control, but that does not take away our responsibility to stand and fight in the day in which we live, under the circumstances in which we find ourselves. All right, I've answered all the questions, but I haven't really. And I do want to talk to you. Our phone number is 888-589-8840. And I'm going to issue it as a challenge to think about these things. This is from just a couple of email. So from Joe, we have a lot of new listeners because we're on in Northern Virginia now, close to the Beltway, and all over the country there are brand new stations. And so this is from Joe. I really love your show. Keep up the great work. Very sweet. This is from Debbie, who says, I listened to your show for the first time this morning. Love what you're saying. We'll be listening from now on. And then Nina, there's a few of those. And then this is from John Charles. This is good stuff. He says, why is the NCAA allowed to decide who to do business with and where, but a baker and a photographer are not? Well, that's a really good question. Why is the NCAA allowed to decide who to do business with and where, but a baker and a photographer are not? That's a very good question, John Charles, and thank you for posing it. All right, I'm going to go to the phones. There's a lot to talk about. Any great comment I'm up for. All right, 888-5-OPPOSITION-2, you know that. 888-589-8840. Let's go to Lonnie down in Texas. Good morning, Lonnie. How are you?
Good morning, Sandy. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. Thank you.
Good. I was, I listen to a lot of talk radio, and I just started listening to your show about 2 years ago, and because I discovered our local Christian talk radio that I didn't know existed, and the bathroom issue, especially here in Texas, I don't know if you're familiar with the whole thing that happened in Fort Worth.
Yes.
With that whole uprising, and then it ended up falling to the side because the community rose up, and we started seeing the negative portrayed in a positive way in support of Christians in Texas, so to speak. But we don't see that on a national scale. What is it going to take for us to start seeing the news hit in favor of us? I'm a teacher. I'm also a youth pastor in town, and so I also sponsor our FCS. Fellowship of Christian Students, and we see every day with this transgender ideals, the kids talk about it. The kids are up on political issues, even in middle school. They talk about things. They know the presidential race. They understand. They make fun of it a lot. They mock a ton, and which is kind of humorous to me that we're being, as adults in the political realm, where we're supposed to be educated and knowledgeable and we can sometimes be foresee predictable problems, things like this, and these kids and our kids are mocking us because they see how silly we are.
Well, you know what? It's fun, Lonnie. That reminds me. Years ago in the pro-life battle, I remember one particular story. At least in general, I remember it. This little child saw an ad against abortion. He had a pro-choice mother, pro-abortion mother. And the child, little child, saw an ad and was just horrified that showed what abortion was. I can't remember the details of that, but the child just was beside themselves that this was a baby. This was a baby. And it had such an impact on the mother. My point is, of course, that children often can see more clearly than their, smarter adults, because adults get so stupid, really, in terms of their wisdom. Unless they really understand God, they become wiser. But if they don't, they become more stupid. But Lonnie, do you have a particular question?
I guess my particular question is in mainstream media, even in conservative affiliates, and I use that in air quotes, like Fox News, why are we not seeing a more positive reporting for our cause?
Yeah, because Lonnie, let me interrupt you and answer that right away. Because in terms of Fox News, the homosexual influence among the producers, and you remember when the same-sex marriage was legalized, I remember the five, which is the panel at 5 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, every single one of them embraced gay marriage and think it's wonderful. So that's the reason. I mean, I was on Fox for 8 years, but I was the odd man out when it came to that. I'm not saying everybody there embraces it, but they sort of have to publicly. And so we don't have a friend in mainstream media. I mean, at least in terms of an outlet. We have a lot of individual friends. But that's why. Because it is the lesbian, bisexual, transgender lobby, the control of media is unbelievable, even in conservative circles, in publishing circles. I could tell you story after story. And it's been that way for a very long time in Republican, used to be conservative, Senate offices, in House offices. Homosexuals, practicing homosexuals, went in and took high places of position when we didn't even know who they were, and they wielded lots of power, and they still do. So that's the long answer to your question. All right, our phone number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
On the first day of our tour of Israel, we will stand on the Mount of Olives and look out over the old city of Jerusalem. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. March 9 through 17, we'll be going to Israel, the Holy Land. This is 2017, of course. We'll be flying from New York City, JFK Airport, direct to Tel Aviv, and then we'll begin our 9-day tour of Israel, including Jerusalem, Bethlehem, Jericho, Tiberias, Nazareth, the Sea of Galilee, the Jordan River, and all the places you've read about since you were a child in the Bible. For more information on this tour, you can order a brochure by calling us at 800-FAMILIES, 800-FAMILIES, option 5. Also, you can visit the website twholyland.com.
The isolation of Israel, the insurgency of ISIS, the resurrection of Russia. Are these current events warning us the end times are near? Explore 10 critical issues facing our world in Dr. David Jeremiah's upcoming book, People Are Asking, Is This the End? On sale worldwide October 4th. Pre-orders available now for a gift of any amount to Turning Point, which include exclusive pre-order bonus offers. Hurry, offer expires October 3rd. Pre-order your copy at davidjeremiah.org today.
There is an urgent need for Christians to vote. Imagine the impact people of faith will have on the future of our nation, the character of its leadership, and the health of its families if biblical principles are applied during this election. Pledge to vote your values and convictions. Get the free voter guide at afaaction.net. This is the most comprehensive guide available anywhere. This message brought to you by AFA Action.
This is Steve Conover inviting you to listen to the Friends of Israel Today each week on this station. Here's our host and Bible teacher, Chris Katulka.
Hey everybody, the Friends of Israel Today is a unique radio show that teaches biblical truth for changing times. We do this through Q&A, timely interviews, dramatic readings from the life of Holocaust survivor Zvi Kalischer, and of course, Bible teaching.
To learn more, visit foiradio.org.
Join us for Friends of Israel Today, Sunday morning at 11:30 Central, here on AFR Talk.
With a ministry opportunity, here's Steve Tiber of 8 Days of Hope.
$22 billion of damage occurred last year in October in South Carolina due to flooding. They saw rain that they had never seen. It was a 1,000-year flood. And now you and I get a chance to go with 8 Days of Hope this October to help hundreds of families rebuild their homes. 16,000 homes suffered some type of damage. We expect thousands of volunteers to come from around the country to southeastern South Carolina in October. We're looking for roofers and plumbers and electricians, people that know how to paint and hang drywall. There's something for everybody at 8 Days of Hope. For more information, go to 8daysofhope.com.
Help us to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Sign up for at least 3 days between October 8th and 15th. And if you're not able to go, you can still help with a financial donation at 8daysofhope.com. That's 8daysofhope.com.
This is Frank Gaffney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Barack Obama studied the revolutionary techniques of anti-American radical Saul Alinsky. Alinsky studied the coercive methods of gangster Al Capone. September 2016 is shaping up to be a month when President Obama employs the worst of both. Relentless, ruthless thuggery to make irreversible his fundamental transformation of America. For example, in China over Labor Day weekend, Obama unilaterally and for decades committed the country to an economically disastrous course in the name of mitigating climate change. At the UN, shortly, he will try to bind us to continued unilateral nuclear disarmament with a permanent ban on underground testing. While there, Obama will also seek to compel his successor to take in vast numbers of predominantly Muslim refugees and, unless Congress intervenes, he will surrender America's role as protector of internet freedom to Russia, China, Iran, and others determined to snuff it. This is Frank Gaffney.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Far too many women are still denied critical access to reproductive health care and safe childbirth. All the laws we've passed don't count for much if they're not enforced. Rights have to exist in practice, not just on paper. Laws have to be backed up with resources and political will, and deep-seated cultural codes, religious beliefs, and structural biases have to be changed.
All right, so that was Mrs. Clinton at the World Summit, the sixth annual in, was April of 2015. Deep-seated cultural codes, religious beliefs, and structural biases have to be changed. She said a lot more, and she's talking there about abortion. So deep-seated religious codes are going to have to change. This is our future. We are seeing, as one of the commissioners of the Civil Rights Commission said, we're going off a cliff here, and we are the object, and it's going to happen quickly if we don't fight back. Which I want to stop just for a second before I go back to the phones. The phone number, by the way, is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. This is from Margaret. She always gives wise biblical counsel, and I want to pause just to read what she says. Dear Sandy, when I hear friends or some of your callers say with despair that if Hillary Clinton gets in office, it just means the day of the Lord is close at hand. She says, we must look forward to Christ's return, but the day of the Lord initiates that return. The day of the Lord initiates that return. And if God himself warns us about hastening that day, then we must also heed his word. And she says, we must be vigilant until the end to fight the good fight to prevent evil from taking the ascendancy. We all too often believe our words are going to allow for an alternative if things don't go our way, and even a justification for not taking action. And she points out two verses that I'm going to stop and read. It was good for me to review these. Very good, Margaret. I really appreciate you sending them. I did actually touch on this last week about the whole notion of, I've heard several people express, well, maybe this is just Jesus will come sooner, or this will bring about the end of time or the end of events as prophesied in Scripture, and that's good, right? And I said to you last week, don't do that. We know that that's wrong. We know that Jesus rebuked his disciples and said, even the Son of Man doesn't know the day. Don't do that. And now I did not remember, but Margaret's reminding me that in Isaiah, it said, woe to those who draw iniquity with cords of vanity, who draw sin as with cart ropes, who say, let him be quick, let him speed his work, that we may see it. Let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw near, and let it come, that we may know it. And that's in the same passage. It says right after that, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness. And then in Amos, it gets more specific. It says something about not wanting to hasten the day of the Lord because it's going to be terrible. It's not exactly something to look forward to. And so here it is. It says, woe to you who desire the day of the Lord. Why would you have the day of the Lord? It is darkness and not light. You remember Jesus himself said, woe to those in that day who are nursing. You know, he gives a dreadful account in Matthew of what's coming. So honestly, think about what you're saying and what you're hoping for. You know, as you discuss this election, my biggest frustrations, I would love to change this. And I would love to be a conduit to help change this, is to get Christ, followers of Christ, to think and study and read and know what they believe and not be babies in Scripture, to really go deep and to be smart and wise. You know, God makes us wise and smart, but we have to, I think I said this in a different way. We have a responsibility to grow up in him and to grow up in the knowledge of the word so that we don't just express opinions and then put God's name on them. And that goes for me, all of us. It's a constant effort to represent Christ faithfully and to sort out our own thoughts and opinions and ideas from those that God that line up with God himself. That's a lifelong pursuit, I have to say. All right, I want to hear what you have to say. I'm going to go to Joe in Texas. Good morning, Joe.
Yes. Hello, Sandy. Thanks for those excellent words. You know, you may know that there's an organization called, they call themselves Catholics for Choice, that put full-page ads out in many newspapers across the country recently.
And well, that's what, we just played Lauren Green's report on that. You know, did you hear that a few minutes ago?
Yeah, thanks. We as Catholics are appalled by that, and we were really proud of our bishops and cardinals who spoke out very strongly against it, and it was really glad to see it. But we need to all take your challenge of acting, you know, speaking up, and praying. You know, if we all flood heaven with prayers for Donald Trump, he's a just God. How can he not, you know, not give us that prayer, that answered prayer? And I think the what you mentioned earlier, that the pro-life person that he put in charge, there's an answer to prayer already. I've been praying, you know, novenas. As Catholics, we do 9-day prayers. There's all sorts of prayers we can do that will bear fruit if he's a just God. So but how can he refuse us if we just pray, you know, pray as Mother Teresa says, until it hurts? I think that's what we need to do now.
I think that's a great admonition. I just put one caution on it. Sometimes God does not answer our prayers, and I find that decades later we usually thank him. So I don't think that God necessarily will grant us our wishes. I'm not sure that we even know what our wishes should be, but I do know that he hears our prayers, and he intercedes. Jesus intercedes for us, and that he will go about bringing, you know, all things for our good to those of us that love him. He promises that. So that much I do know for sure. You know, I want to interject something else that you probably know. This George Soros Open Society has been spending so much money to pollute religious effort. I say religious because it's a large category. It's Catholics. It's also Protestants under the leadership of some, like the National Association of Evangelicals, was so polluted by George Soros money, so it's an active effort to weaken the voice of people who are Christians, who serve Christ, and they've really done it very effectively. And I would imagine I don't know about Catholics for Choice, but I would imagine if we trace the roots of their money, it might all go back, some of it might go back to George Soros as well. So this is a subversive effort on the parts of our social enemies on these very deep issues, questions of life and death, to subvert and confuse Christians. And that's why my admonition that we grow up, it's time to grow up, to study and know what you believe and take your place and step up and arm yourself and take on the sword and the shield of faith and the helmet of salvation and the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Take it on. Stand. Fight. If you won't fight now, when, for heaven's sake, are you going to do it? Are you just going to tell me that God is sovereign and so you don't have to fight? You have no idea what you are bringing on yourselves and your children. I don't think you have any idea. And I can't find any place in Scripture when it says the battle is the Lord's. We know that, but we must join the battle. And I'm really, really admonishing all of you to do that wherever you are. Thanks a lot, Joe. I appreciate your comments. Let's go to Michelle on Texas. Michelle, you have a comment on that. The sovereignty of God, the Calvinist movement. Yeah, I'd like to hear what you have to say.
Well, I'm kind of nervous about it because I've not spoken publicly about it. But, you know, when I've given my testimony about I've seen God do some great things in my life, answer prayer many, 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 many years later. I see my father get saved after 20 years of prayer. My ex-husband, who's now my husband, get saved after 20 years of prayer. But my faith was shaken when I found out that my ex-husband, my daughter's stepfather, molested her. And I would give my testimony about how God had provided for us and protected us and took care of us after he went to prison. But then I would come to the question, why didn't God protect my daughter from him? And I wrestled with that question for many years, and I came to realize that You know, if we do not see sin as sin, and if we do not understand what sin is, we won't be angry about it. We won't search for the truth. And I remember during that time not understanding that there was something going on, but I didn't know what it was. I couldn't recognize it. And when the truth came out, it was like, now I can't not look at anything without thinking about it, without seeing it and recognizing it as sin. I don't know if that makes sense, but I think a lot of Christians today do not fully understand what sin is. There's so many blurred lines. We're getting so much information and not getting enough truth from the pulpits, not being in the Word and studying the Word and knowing what God says about sin and what He says about consequences of sin and what He says about each of us taking responsibility for our own sin.
Yeah.
I can tell you that years afterwards, I became very, very, I don't know what the word is, just searching the truth in the scriptures, because I never wanted anything to happen again like that. I never wanted to be that naive again.
Michelle, I the bottom line I'm taking from what you said is that you are living proof. You know, sometimes these terrible troubles make us go deep because we're too lazy otherwise. And then I think also trouble helps us to see things in vivid colors. We do see sin as sin. Our hearts are quickened, and as we get closer to God, we see more clearly His holiness, things that we once thought were not so bad. You know, I'm not so bad. I'm a good person. And then suddenly we see our sin. And then our vision, it's like we put on glasses, those 3D glasses you wear at the movie, and you see things through spiritual eyes. And so, Michelle, thanks. I appreciate you sharing that, and I thank you for that. Let's go to Blake in Texas. Good morning, Blake.
Good morning.
Good morning. Quickly, Blake,
well,
if you can.
You need
to turn off the radio. Blake, turn off the radio, please. It's making you delay.
I live in the country. I got a cell phone.
Okay.
Hear me?
Yes, we're just hearing an echo. I guess it isn't you. Okay, go ahead.
Well, I think it's time to turn our TVs off. And I haven't watched the NFL yet, and I'm not going to watch NCAA football anymore.
Really? So that's what you think we could do? Just stop watching? You know, I've heard my husband say that, too. It's like it's just getting so off-putting that it's taking the joy out of it for men. Do you think a lot of men feel that way, Blake?
I'm afraid not. You know, I think a lot of Christians are kind of the world and not just in. You know, we're supposed to be in the world, not of the world. And when we participate in these things that are against God, we're kind of agreeing with it and coming out of the world.
Yep. So. Yes. Well, you've laid down the gauntlet, and it's a good one, Blake. So thanks a lot. Let's go to Arkansas and talk to Bob. Bob, you have the last word, and you have to be concise if you can.
Okay. Yeah. I'm enjoying the Sunday school class. You would make a great Sunday school teacher.
Thank you.
You'd make a wonderful Sunday school teacher. I cut my sports package because I do not accept those things that the sports people are saying. So I cut my sports package from my cable TV. I want to say that Martin Luther King did more in the last 100 years or so to bring this country together than anybody else by far. Barack Hussein Obama has done more than anybody by far, bar none, to rip this country apart. Also, I went to the U of A football game here recently, and they didn't have the words to the national anthem up on the Jumbotron, but they had the words to the school anthem. So my wife and I are communicating with the school about that. And I just want to say that in the morning, I said, oh, it's after 7. Why am I not listening to Sandy Rio? So I get over to you as quick as I can.
Thank you, Bob. That's very sweet. Thank you very much. And I think it is time for us to stand and fight. It's hard work. It's not fun. But you know what? Sometimes you know how you work hard in order to not have financial problems in the future. You save and you do without. You got to do that now. You got to work hard. You got to stand and fight in order to keep some of the terrible things that are coming our way. And I think we can do it. This is Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.